Blog Talk Radio.
I have you on mute. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson this morning, and we're two poop puppies. Dr. Reggie is in the midst of his burning question marathon, and we've had so much fun doing this and sharing this time with so many people that have been following Dr. Reggie for so many years. We hadn't heard from him. Some people, you know, his rates have gone up and we haven't heard from him, and this was a wonderful opportunity for them to touch bases with him. We just had a great time. We have Gloria Wells in our chat room. If she shows up this morning, I know she's been overwhelmed with work because they've been short on people, but we have a couple of regulars that hang out there, and so I want to say good morning to them as well. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Oh, I'm exhausted. 72-hour marathon doing readings. Oh, my God.
I know. This is the last day.
But it's kind of fun because people call in and have that one burning question, and they may have a follow-up question, and it's kind of fun, you know? It really is. And they really get happy after we do the reading, and I tell them what's going on. They say, oh, wow. And they say, this is true, and that's true, and this really works. So I'm really happy about that.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was really, you know, I take a lot of the calls that come in and book the sessions, and it was just so cool hearing from some of these people that we haven't heard from for years. And so, and more importantly, I really thank them for their support. Because a lot of times they say, oh, I don't really have a burning question. I just wanted to support what you're doing. So that was really cool.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dr. Reggie, you know, we are in this wonderful book study of Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, trying to find the balance in our spiritual life and our earthly living. And I was going to move on to chapter, I think it's chapter 10, where we talk about it's actually chapter 9, where we talk about the business practices in this 21st century. If you guys will remember, in his introduction, he tells us, look, things are not the same anymore, and we're being called to live our lives differently. And I was called to teach prosperity, the spiritual principles of prosperity during our economic downturn. It just pulled at me, really didn't give me much choice. And so I totally related to that statement that he made about we are being called to live differently. And I think it's a great thing. And here's the thing, as I have been teaching this, and of course, I know I say things over and over again, I'm not senile, but the point I'm making here is that as I've started teaching these principles, I have even grown deeper in my understanding of them. And that's why repetition is so important. I try to bring these principles to you from different authors, but they're the same principles. And basically, there are 7 principles. And even on my website, from time to time, on the homepage, I will say, "Learn these 7 principles," and I'll present them from different perspectives. Like I think we did. I was running Deepak Chopra's 7 Principles of Manifestation. And then I ran a video of Bashar, his 7 Principles of manifestation or success or however you want it. There's seven principles, and I'll probably break down Jim Rosemurky, the author of this book, break down those principles for the seven principles and put it up on our website, because it's the same seven principles over and over again. Even in Dr. Reggie's book, The Secret Power of Words, those seven principles emerge again. So the thing is, I want to finish up the prosperity in the home, because he's really talking about our relationship with money. And a lot of times, I'll be honest, in teaching, I don't really stress the tithing as much. And what's in my spirit now is that I really need to teach you guys about tithing. And I know my resistance to teaching it is because there have been a lot of people that only taught the tithing and not the other principles. And so there's some resistance that we have about tithing and our perception of it because of how other teachers have probably spent an inordinate amount of time on tithing. But it is a major part in your spiritual breakthrough. And we're going to talk about that today. And what I want you to do is to call in this morning at 914-338-0590. And as we start talking about this, I want you to share with me your resistance to tithing, your perception of what tithing is, your joy in tithing if you have it. I just want to hear from you this morning. So, Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our opening prayer?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, as always. First and foremost, with thanksgiving. The power of prayer is so wonderful. We thank you that we have the communication lines open always, even in our thoughts. If we whisper, it goes in the wind and touches your mind. I thank you that we are linked eternally in minds, and that's all there is. As we learn to give, it will be given unto us, pressed down, shaken together, that we don't even have room to receive it. We'll be blessed doubly, and in triple fold we'll be blessed. Thank you for the power of angels who invisibly are your security guards and watch over every part of our life to help us in times of need and show us karma in times of understanding. Thank you for our paths to walk uprightly and know that we're being guided by the Holy Spirit. We're never alone. We are never alone. And I thank you for that power and for the comfort and the wisdom that comes from within. I believe it is so, and so it is.
Oh, my goodness, and so it is. I just love your prayers. You just bless us so much. So last week on Thursday, because, of course, Friday was Oracle Friday, but last week we left off talking about saving money. And he says that that we should learn how to save beyond the 6 months. You know, they tell us 6 months savings of our expenses, our monthly expenses. We should have at least 6 months saved up. But he says, you know, what happens if you're out of work beyond the 6 months? What do you do? And he says it is good to save our money, but not for a future setback. Remember I was talking about how my dad said he was saving up for a rainy day, and we were in the midst of a huge storm. It was beyond a rainy day. And he chuckled and he said, I guess it's here. But what Jim Rosemurky is telling us is to instead, he wants us to create an opportunity fund. He says, we may save a portion of our income, but it's not for an emergency. It's for an opportunity. And because stop and think about it. If you're saving for an emergency, your consciousness is saying something bad is going to happen. And, of course, if you're focused on that and that's your intention, then of course, are you not creating that? So he's saying, let's flip this and say that we're creating an opportunity fund. And many people actually label their account in this way. It may be used for house repairs or a down payment on another house or a long-awaited vacation or education for the children or even just a special gift for a friend or a worthy organization or a cause, but it's an opportunity. And realize that opening an opportunity fund or doing the other things which we have suggested or which will be suggested will not make you prosperous and secure. Your prosperity and your security is God's work, and it requires a spiritual awakening. So we cannot force this experience, but the suggested activities, all that does is help you to prepare your soul for the spiritual breakthrough. And as I was reading that, I went back to think about one day I was driving to work in LA traffic, so I spent a lot of time alone, but that was my time with God. And I would talk. This was before cell phones were really popular and people were on the phone with a headset. And I would be in the car talking to God. And I know people sitting next to me would go, who is she talking to? I was talking to God. And the thought came to me. I was like, you know, why do you require us to tithe? What is the importance of tithing? And in my spirit, God says, I don't need the money. What would I do with the money? It is to build your faith. Remember that the principle that we're studying here, the main thesis from this book is God is source, but your consciousness, your awareness of God is the supply. So think about it. If you are confident that all of your needs are going to be met, when you tithe, there's no fear in not having enough. And the more you exercise, it's like exercising. You know how when you lift a weight and when you start, you know, you start with a low pound and your muscle gets really fatigued, and then you can increase the weight as because your muscle eventually, it doesn't get fatigued. You may have to do 15 reps instead of 10 reps and before the muscle gets fatigued. And then you can take it a little bit, add more weight, and you build it. Tithing is like that. It builds your spiritual awakening, your spiritual awareness of God as supply. So you're doing this for you. You're tithing for you. For your spiritual development. It's a blessing to someone else, but it's really for your continued spiritual awareness of God, which is increasing your supply. Do you see how they're connecting the dots? See, I'll be honest, I'm just beginning to see how the tithing connects the dots in my consciousness. In my conscious awareness of the divine energy within me. So, some of the blocks to prosperity are very, very subtle. On the surface, prosperity is one of the easiest principles of truth to prove, but as the soul begins to unfold, and there are refinements that are required. For instance, at first, the wood carver chips away the coarse pieces of wood, and the form seen in the mind, it begins to emerge. However, eventually, you have to take a little sandpaper, and that's used so that the minute fragments of the wood can be removed. And so it is in the early stages of our prosperity development. We think we are making progress because our income increases or because we add new possessions to the household. But as the years of growth come and go, we see these events in another way. And eventually, we discover that we must drop from our consciousness of the idea of possessions. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. So a belief in possession is a block to prosperity. You know, I often tweet, if the law of attraction is not working for you, find out why. Listen to Circles of Prosperity. Can you see why when we're in the constant pursuit of things, and that's what happens in the law of attraction. I saw someone the other day that started a meetup group saying, teaching how to transform your life with money, the energy of money, or something to that effect. And of course, he's teaching the principles of vibration and that money is vibration. And I, you know, this is all wonderful. And sometimes that's where you have to start with people, with what they're searching for: more money, or more things. But as we grow up spiritually, we have to put away childish things. Isn't that what the Bible says? We're looking for something deeper. We want to have a deeper understanding. And that law of attraction will work for us on a deeper level. And our manifestation can even be more instantaneous when we shift our consciousness. So he says a belief in possession is a block to true prosperity. This would not be true if we were solely human beings. It is obvious that human beings possess many things. We even have deeds and mortgages and bills of sale to prove our thing is ours, that a thing is ours. This belief in possessions must find its proper place. So through the practice of the Jubilee year, that's when every 50 years all debt is forgiven. Well, the Hebrews attempted to put aside the idea of possession by returning land to the previous owner after 50 years. Can you imagine that happening in America? There's a small movement from the 99 percenters that are trying to create something called the Jubilee. But the idea of possession reinforces the belief that we are exclusively human beings, but we are so much more. We are so much more. We are spiritual beings, possessing nothing and having no need to possess anything. What earthly thing does a spiritual being need? Does a spiritual being need an automobile for transportation or a house for shelter? If you move into the more esoteric teachings, like through mystery school, and you begin to understand your spirit and how there is no time or distance in spirit, that you can travel in astral projection. I mean, Dr. Reggie and I had our first date in astral projection. So a spiritual being needs a consciousness of truth. A spiritual being needs a consciousness of truth. This is more than shelter. It is a state in which to dwell. It is more than transportation. It moves us deep into the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It's within. It's within. So, of course, these words express the absolute truth, but they must not be forgotten. Let there be balance between the truth of our being and our human existence, because in this way we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. So, yeah, we may own a home and we may have clothes that we wear and we may have paid off the note on our automobile, but let there be no possessions. Is this even possible? Yes, it's possible. For possession is just a state of mind. Just as a move to another city is encumbered by many possessions, so a possessive state of mind makes it difficult for us to release what we think makes us rich and secure. However, when we let go of the idea of possession and find a greater treasure in heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is within. You know, when you value yourself, and I'm not talking about the egoic self, I'm talking about the divine self, your higher self, that part of you that is God in you. There are a lot of things that you just won't do anymore. You become a renewed being. I think that's why they call it a born again. This is what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. You must be born again in the Spirit. So when you move into that relationship with your soul, you are laying up your treasures in heaven, which is the kingdom within. And for years, I didn't get that scripture. I didn't understand it. And I have such a deeper understanding of it now. Your soul development, your consciousness, the expansion of your consciousness is creating your heaven. Isn't that awesome? And the scripture that says that it's difficult for a rich man to go to heaven, they're not talking about a rich man entering into the pearly gates. No, they're talking about the difficulty of releasing your possessions, which is the blockage that he's referring to here. Because that is a block to really moving into the awareness of your soul and living from that place, from the kingdom of heaven within. So here's what some of the suggestions that he has. First, he says you want to implement something called the 80% plan. And, you know, he's giving you some steps here where you can move into that consciousness and build your awareness of God, as your supply. When you tithe, it puts God first in every area of your life, every area, including your finances. How many of you, if you're putting money away, or if you for your retirement, that you're not that you're looking at it as your effort of doing this, taking care of that? Or even as you pay your bills, it's your effort. If you notice, everything that he has, all of the little techniques that he has outlined here, he has tried to give, he wants us to be in remembrance that God is first. If we write on our check, thank you for this blessing, we're acknowledging God as our source. So he says we have to put God first in every area of our life, because the truth is we cannot clutch money as if it were our savior and truly prosper. And by tithing and putting God first, we find that not only are our needs met, but we become rich in spirit. And the tithe can be from either our gross or our net pay that we receive, but it must be before our expenses. If it is not, then God is not first. Then what happens is that we are putting ourselves first. And in fact, it is best when the first funds disbursed from each paycheck is your tithe. So you know, the Bible tells us that we should tithe 10% of our income. And for many of you, that may seem difficult. For me, it seems difficult. And if this is the case, then you should start with just 1% and increase your giving each month until you reach 11%. You want to move beyond 10% because tithing is a consciousness of God first rather than the act of giving. You are practicing your faith. You are practicing the principles. You are proving that God is your supply every time you tithe. And if you skip this step and do all the others, but you skip this one, you're cheating yourself. You got all the other ones down, but you skip this one. It means that you're still holding on to fear. And you're not hurting anyone. I won't even say that you're hurting yourself. But you're not quite there. The essence of any spiritual principle lies in consciousness rather than what we do. It's what you think, what you are aware of. And consciousness must manifest itself in actions and daily living. What we do must be consistent. And what we say and what we believe. So you can't talk these principles and not do them. I always urge you, practice the principles. Tithing is one of the principles. So some of you might say, then why not give at a rate of 5% or 1%? Is the percentage important in declaring God first? No, attitude is what is most important. But the issue is values and equity. Is 1% fair and just when we consider what God gives us? It's just something to ponder. So the next step after you are moving towards your tithing out of all the money that you receive, because you may not receive it in a paycheck, it may come in dribbles. But the next step is the 80% plan, and that's to put 9% of your income in an opportunity fund. So you're tithing 11%. You're putting 9% in your opportunity fund, which is your savings. And as I mentioned before, it's not for a rainy day, but it's for an unexpected opportunity. And so that's part of the 80% plan. And in the 80% plan, we give the 11% of our income to support the unfoldment of God's work on the planet. And next, we set aside 9% of our income for ourselves and some opportunity that will be ours in the future. So that's 20% of our income right there. And then we live on the remaining 80%. And it may be difficult in the beginning. But as you make this commitment, you're going to... The Bible tells us that God will give us so much that it will be pressed down, shaken together, and more than our storehouse can store. And the only way you're going to know that for sure is if you actually practice these principles. That's the only way. So he says something here. He closes this chapter with this. He says, prosperity in the home, like prosperity in business or in religious settings, is an opportunity to experience God as source. Individuals involved in consciousness raising are often greatly challenged when they try to put into practice the ideas and the principles that excite their minds. I mean, how many of you, when you heard the law of attraction, or even when you participated in some of our teachings of, and it's just this whole new way of thinking, it is so exciting because you're getting it and you can connect the dots, right? And our mind is just tantalated. Oh my God, this is wonderful. And then you get some challenges. And what happens? You seem to struggle to make these principles work for you. You may even get discouraged and say, oh, this is crap, right? He says it is so invigorating to talk about truth, but the talk is often a way of avoiding daily life. And it's very difficult for us to avoid daily life. It's an ongoing struggle to practice these principles. Today can be a new beginning. We are aware of the spiritual truths that enable us to be true to the high mystical calling to know God. We have also been given ideas to balance the heavenly with the earthly action. So let us begin today, and the excitement that fills our minds will fill our lives. That's why I urge you so frequently, practice these principles. And I know that practicing them is not easy. I know I can get an amen on that. Shifting from our fear and reminding ourselves about these principles, it's not easy. When you're in the midst of bill collectors calling you, it's not easy. And that's why he's giving you little things to do to build your belief. And what is a belief? A belief is just a thought that you think all the time. You have to practice, so that when things come up, little challenges come up, the principles are already activated within you. I see Dr. Reggie in that mode. I mean, we get hit. You guys won't believe how we have been hit. And I know that a lot of things that are happening to us is because I'm building. And because we are a unit, he has to go through this with me. Because my faith is being challenged. So I'm here to tell you, I'm going through this with you. I'm practicing this with you. I want you guys to make a promise to me today that you will begin tithing to wherever you're getting your spiritual nourishment, at least 1%. If you're a non-tither, start with 1% of whatever, however your income comes in. Say, I am putting this, giving this, to where I receive my spiritual nourishment. And make a promise that you're going to increase it every time. But do it with joy, not out of fear and not out of an obligation, but to say, you know what? I'm going to try this, putting God first, being thankful for all that God has provided for me. Being thankful. Okay, so I want to talk to you guys this morning. It's awfully quiet. You guys must have partied hard over the weekend. I hardly have anyone in the chat room this morning. And very few callers in this morning. I know it's hard because I had a hard time waking up this morning. Just call in 914-338-0590. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. I always like to hear your voices in the morning. So let me give you an affirmation. Today, I'm going to take steps that prepare me for my spiritual awakening. Today, I take steps that prepare me for my spiritual awakening, and I put into practice the spiritual truths that I have learned. I put into practice the spiritual truths that I have learned. Tomorrow, I had loaded up today that we were going to talk about business practices. A lot of you are entrepreneurs, but we're actually going to talk about that tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting chapter, so I know you want to tune in. I have to sneeze. Excuse me. So I guess no one's going to talk to me this morning? Just say hi. No? All righty. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer.
I love the message you gave this morning.
Oh.
It's a beautiful message. And tithing is so important. It releases a very powerful, dynamic spiritual energy. When we give from our hearts, God understands your intention. Nothing needs to be said at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe knows what your heart is doing. If it's hoarding and selfish and reluctant, that's not a good thing. Then you punish yourself. As we give freely, Jesus said, you have received freely, freely give. Giving is a powerful energy. And when you do it with joy, knowing that God is always blessing you, not going to bless you, but he is always blessing you in every moment of your life. Rain that falls on the crops that badly need it. The snow cleaning the energy. Health and the body restoring itself. These are all gifts that God gave us from the time we came out of the mother's womb till now with instant families and abundance. We have more than we realize, and I thank God right now that we have the power to choose. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. I thank you with my heart and my mind and my soul, which you created in each one of us to learn to give back in mind and physically, and in power and deed to help others. As we do so, we are surely going to be blessed, always. It's just an automatic process set up by karma itself. We give, we'll receive. We take, more is taken from us. We thank you for the power of giving and the power of love. Let us live with each breath that is your gift to us too. Every heartbeat, which is your gift to us. Love, which is your gift to us because you are nothing but love. Let us learn to prosper in more than one way, in many ways, to acknowledge the prosperity we have and to live in it and to do it and to be it. And so it is.
And so it is. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. Well, listen, we're going to call it a day. We'll be here tomorrow. Talk about doing business in the 21st century. How we can live spiritually.